Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Appreciate your obedience tonight. Turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I appreciate the reminder that our hope is in something that is eternal. If you're looking for something of this world to save you, it's not out there.
Right.
And I'm grateful that mine is anchored in what Paul said was beyond the veil, on the other side in the holy place. It's anchored in the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We want to do our best tonight just to obey God, so pray for us. We need it. We're going to begin it. We're going to read verse number 1, and then we're going to jump to verse number 15 of the same chapter and read a few more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. For all things, verse number 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Lord, we thank you for this truth and what it's already done to help us. We pray that you would apply it to our lives, that we not yield to that this is someone else's truth, but help us to recognize it's meant for us, each one of us, individually. Change us with this truth. We humbly pray for your unction and the moving of your presence among us. And if there's one here that needs to be saved, may this be the day they recognize that truth as well. We love you as we ask it. Praying all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are three words in verse number 1 that you find also in verse number 16. And those three words are, we faint not. Or if you look at the Greek translation of that, those few words that are together, it means we don't lose heart.
Right.
Applied to that was a word called cowardice. Or meaning, in another way, is we don't shrink away.
Yep.
We don't step back from the fight. There are times when we don't know what to do. There's times when we can't see very far indeed. And we fear, or we doubt, or we struggle with those things that we need. But what the apostle said, and I want to begin at verse number 16, he said, for which cause we faint not. We don't lose heart. We don't step away from the battle. We don't cower in fear, but we rise up even though our outward men perish. And I can assure you that every day we live, we take one more step closer to the grave, even though, as we recognize, as we look in the mirror from year to year, that the flesh is deteriorating and something may take us sooner than later. We don't know any of that, but the Apostle Paul was clear in saying that even though the outward men perish, we're not going to give up. We're not going to let down. There is something in us that sustains us even through the hard times. I was rejoicing in the song as they sang about that grace for every need. What a wondrous truth to know that in every situation, God has given us grace to overcome. He's given us exactly what we need. I had a fellow talking to me this afternoon, and he was sharing with me his own heart, some fears that he had, and they were unfounded, but that's how the devil works anyway. He tries to bring and to sow the seed of discord in our heart and to tell us lies. And if we'll go along with him, before long you'll have fear present and you'll have doubt and worry tagging right along behind it. But you know what? What it came right down to was that regardless of what the world says, I've got an answer that'll help me through everything. You see, even when the world delivers something that might take our very breath away, that might take from us every thought of future, I want you to know that I still have a future in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade that for anything. I don't know what the world really has out there, and I'm not interested. Truly, I don't care of the riches of this world, actually. What matters is that I have an eternal home, and that is forever secure. That makes all the difference in the world. Is to know that Christ lives within me and that what I have coming is better than what I have here. There will be hard things, and we certainly hear about it all the time. It seems like as I read and talk and converse with others, their struggles. I heard Susan's request tonight about that family, and my heart went out to them. There was a pang of compassion for that situation when she said that. But I thought to myself, God is grace in the hardest of things. You see, that ain't the first time that's happened. As a matter of fact, it's common. It is something that happens all the time. And what I want us to be reminded of tonight is we don't have to lose heart. Amen. You go to dwelling on things that you can't control, and you're liable to scare yourself into a place that you begin to lose heart and forget about what it is that's most important. But let me tell you what the Apostle Paul said. He said, your affections on things that are above. Let me tell you, if you're going to think on something, the apostle told him in the book of Philippians, he said, think on the things that are true. Think on the things that are lovely. Think about the things that are just and virtuous and of praise. Think about those things that God has promised you and asked. You say, well, those are just platitudes. It don't really work. I want you to know it does work. If you begin to think about the eternal things, you'll pass that the things of this world will quickly lose their value. Your perspective in life, though it was down, can be lifted up because of the power of hope that comes in what we believe. Now, what the Apostle Paul was saying was, he said, listen, I ain't going to lose heart. He said, when I think about the wondrous thing that God has done in you and done in me and the thanksgiving that is going out unto God because of his wondrous gospel, he said, it reminds me of the importance of not losing heart, of not fainting, and even though the outward man perish, he said, I want to confirm to you today that the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
Now, how many would confess that you need renewed day by day?
Amen.
I believe a lot of people go from Sunday to Sunday. And they don't pray. About the only time you can get them involved in prayer is when you ask them to pray with you when you stand. That ain't enough. I'll just tell you, that's a pitiful existence for a child of God if that's the only time you're conversing with him. If that's the only time that you're intimate with God, I fear you're not intimate with him at all. I'm talking about being alone, being in his presence, being in a place where you can just say what you want to say without fear or worrying about somebody else hearing you. Listen to me. I don't want you to know what all I pray about. Amen. He's the one that knows my heart. He's the one that's the lover of my soul. He's the one that can do something about it. I want you to know we're living in a time when the devil is using every opportunity to steal the courage from the children of God. Now's not the time to sit get down. It's the time to rise up, not to shy away from the fight, but to engage in the fight, not because I can change it, but because He is still all-powerful. And though it may cost this outward flesh, it has nothing to do with the man on the inside, because the man on the inside, you see, is renewed day by day. Now, we need to be careful that we share with each one of us a reminder of how we get renewed. Right? Prayer is one thing. You'll not get renewed until you've truly engaged in prayer with God. And I believe a lot of us today we're a bit delinquent as it turns to the subject of prayer. There's problems in our lives when it comes to prayer. Most of it's revolving around ourselves. We're so selfish as human beings that we won't give God the time, amen, to truly work with us. I told a fellow today, I said, I don't know about you, but I need Him to renew me every day. The attacks from the enemy, the attacks from my own flesh that resists the things of God. I need a renewing of His Spirit every day. You ought to ask yourself the question. Every one of us ought to do this. We ought to take a spiritual inventory. And we ought to ask ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, am I close to God or am I not? Right? Now don't use your neighbor as the measuring stick. Amen. You'll measure out pretty good if you use your neighbor. How about using your obedience to God, your prayer to God, your study with God, all of those things that He's invited you to be a part of and has left it as a voluntary opportunity for you. How many of us have engaged in those opportunities to truly love the God that we serve? We might find that we're not as high up there as we thought we were. How many of us can feel the Spirit of God wherever we're at? Right? You don't have to be in the church house. You don't have to be among a bunch of singing or something going on, or shouting going on, and it pours over. I'm talking about it starts in you.
Right.
As a mature Christian, as a child of God, we oughtn't to shy away from it. Even though the outward man perish, we ought to be reminded that our inward man can be renewed day by day. Paul said, I am. He said, there's a need in me to be renewed day by day. And he said, I yield that unto God and experience Him. Verse number 17, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, when it comes to the Apostle Paul, he was awful fair about telling you why he believed something and why it was important that we did. And as I thought about this today, the picture that he paints in verse number 17, in my mind, I see a set of scales. And on one side, you've got affliction. And on the other side, you've got glory. And when I say glory, let me define that for you. That is everything that is just beyond this world.
Right. Amen.
For the child of God, it is everything He has promised me. It is a place where there's no more sorrow, no more heartache, nor sin. It's a place where I'll live forever. It's a place where I'm going to get a new body. It's a place where Jesus is the light of that land. It is the place of glory that He has promised to every born-again believer. That's on this side. On the other side is the afflictions of this world. Now, what Paul was carefully saying was, is we're not absent afflictions. That'd be a false gospel. Right? And there's some that preach that, right? They preach that if you're having trouble, that means you're in sin. Amen. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said if you follow Him, you're going to suffer. There'll be persecution. There'll be affliction. There'll be hard things. As a matter of fact, there's a bunch of hard things that just become because you're human. Just because you're human, you're susceptible to any disease there is. You can have cancer tomorrow. Right? Doesn't mean you're a sinner. Means you're human. But though my outward man perish, right? They may give me a death sentence before this week's over. And would it knock the wind out of me? Probably would. Right? Because I ain't expecting it. It'd scare you to death for a minute. But what Paul said was what I've done, he said, is weigh the two. He said, when I weigh the two, I got affliction here, and I've got the weight and exceeding abundance of eternal glory.
Amen.
And he said, when I place them in scales, it does this number. And he said, I realize that the affliction itself is light and but for a moment. Oh, you say, preacher, you don't know my afflictions. I tell you what's wrong with your afflictions is you're looking at it through the eyes of the flesh. What you need to do is look at it through the eye of faith.
Amen.
Because when we really get down to business, it ain't about what's going on here.
Right.
It's about what's going on there.
Right. Amen.
That's where we miss it. We look at the affliction in the eye of the flesh, and what that says is this is hard, this is grievous, this is heavy.
Right.
But when we look at it and compare it to the eternal weight of glory, suddenly that affliction just lightens up, don't it?
Right.
You compare it to an eternal, everlasting existence in perfect harmony and peace. Suddenly everything of this world just pales and it does not matter. Right? You can lose everything you've got. You say, it ain't true. Yeah, it's true. You can lose everything you've got, everybody you've got, and still pin the words. Still pin the words. We talked about it the other day. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say. It is well. It is well with my soul. That's what the apostles, he told them in another part of Corinthians. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time ain't worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. You say, how do you know? It's by faith that I know.
Amen.
And when we look at afflictions in faith, we'll find that they are temporary. Right? That's what I love about the hard stuff, is it's just temporary. Amen. What did it say in the scripture? This too shall pass. You can count on that. You might be weeping today, but joy comes in the morning for the children of God. You believe that? I do. I believe that. I believe God will never leave me, never forsake me. There ain't a problem that He won't be with me in. Whatever I need, He'll provide. The grace I need will be there. Friend, God will never fail His own. The Apostle Paul is the first one to tell you that being a child of God doesn't mean you're exempt from hard things. No, he was absolutely clear about the hard stuff. But what he said was, is all the hard stuff, he said, I've compared it to what I'm fixing to get when I go to heaven. And he said, when I look at the two, he said, that stuff I've gone through. That now, he went through a whole lot more than we'll ever go through.
Right.
Amen, you willing to admit that?
Yeah.
He went through a whole lot. He endured a whole lot more than any of us will ever endure. But he was able to say by faith that that is just light affliction. Right? He said it's going to pass. It's temporary. I might hurt for a few days. They may beat me. He said my bones will heal back or I'll go. He said, but when I go, he said, I'm going to receive an eternal inheritance in heaven. And he said, when I compare the two, why, the things of this world are just light in nature. No, the things that are eternal and abundant in God, those are the things that have a weight that makes a difference. Verse number 18, as we close, he summed it up with this as he finishes that chapter. And I love how he started chapter number 5, right? But before he gets to chapter number 5, verse 1, he finishes with verse number 18 right here. And he said, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, he was making a statement that I have to be honest, I'm not always kosher with. Right? Because my problem is a lot of times I'll focus on the things I can see. And if I put the focus on those things, pretty soon I'll have fear and doubt and trouble and worry and all of those things attached to my hip trying to drag me down because my eyes are on the things that are seen. But what Paul said was, is our responsibility is not to look down, not to look at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, that is a huge difference when you compare the two.
Right. Amen.
When you compare the two. Right? If God says you got to suffer, Sam, here's what you can take stock in. That's just a little while. You can count on that. It won't be long. And when we leave this world, we're going to slip into something that's eternal. Let's just compare the eternal with temporary. All you got to do is just look at that part.
Right.
What I'm going through now is just a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And you know what I found in my life? I have as many good times as I do bad.
Yeah. Amen.
So even while I'm here, there's still good times. God is still gracious, ain't he? God is still good, and God still helps us. He never said we wouldn't cry a bit. He didn't say our heart wouldn't be broken. He didn't say we wouldn't be alone. Didn't say there wouldn't be times when we struggled and we didn't know which way to go. But he did say he'd be with us, and he did say that this world is not our home. See, Abraham had it right. He said he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Right? His eyes wasn't set on this world. Amen. He dwelt in tents. He said, why? Because he's just passing through.
Yeah.
He didn't need no permanent dwelling because what he had set in his heart is that God had made him a promise.
Yes.
That was far better than everything else on this side. I want to close as we go back to verse number 1. Paul said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Each one of us have a ministry. Ministry is our spiritual responsibility to be the light and the salt in the world that we live in. That's our ministry. Right? When Gideon went into battle, what did he go in there with? He went in there with a trumpet and a light. That's all he's give you and me is a trumpet and a light, and it's all right here. This is what makes the noise, and this is what makes the light. It's all right here. All we have to do is live by and share it with others. Seeing then that we have this ministry, let's not lose heart. Right? Very important concept here. Let's not lose heart. Let's not shrink away. Let's not sit back as if I just be real still, nothing gonna happen to me. Right? If I'll just disengage, the devil won't bother me. Right? That's a lie too. If I'll just sit back, right, and be real still or shrink from the responsibility I have of a ministry for Christ, then somehow or another it'll all get better. No, that's just fodder for the enemy's work. It won't work. It won't work. Seeing then we have this ministry, the ministry of sharing with the world Jesus Christ, letting people know that there is hope beyond this world. Right? What people want you ultimately to tell them, or at least in the beginning, was is that everything's going to be all right. Right? Now, I can't honestly tell a lost person that. That'd be untrue, wouldn't it? Because
right.
He's got the worst fear.
Right.
Lost person has the absolute worst dread that could ever be upon a human soul.
Right. Amen.
And that is that they perish without Christ and spend eternity in a pit of torment. Ever and ever, right? My job is not to tell everybody everything's going to be all right.
Right. Amen.
My job is to tell them that Jesus Christ came so that you might be saved from the wrath of God that is coming in the end.
Yeah.
And if you miss Him, you've missed everything.
That's right.
Because here's the truth. You know, you may come down something at the end of the week.
Right.
And I'll be right alongside you.
Yep.
And I ain't going to leave you. But I ain't got no way to promise you that you're going to be healed tomorrow.
Yep. Amen.
That'll be by the mercy of God, who I know can.
Right.
And who I'll pray to that He will.
Right.
But if He chooses not and decides to take you on home,
right.
That's when it'll be all right.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
But as long as you're in the flesh, you're susceptible for hard things. And what Paul's saying is, just don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't even back up. He said, because everything coming is way better than what you're going through right now. You're going through a hard time, he said, that'll just last a little while. Right? That'll just be a little while. It's just temporary. You'll come through that valley and you'll walk right into another mountain. You'll be on top of the mountain before long. We've seen that. All our lives prove that it's just one big ebb and flow as God stretches us and then He gives us rest. And He stretches us again and gives us some rest. God knows just what to do to raise up His own. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You have a ministry. And that ministry is important. Whatever scope or realm of folks that you're around every single day, whether you know it or not, they're drawing from that strength. They're drawing from that courage. They're drawing from that spirit. In some way or another, we need to be salt, light, the torch, the light. Some way or another, we need to be affecting people for Jesus Christ. And if you lose heart, you'll just sit down. And before you know it, you're ineffective altogether. You're not doing anything for God. You can't feel His Spirit because you've sat down on Him, right? You've backslid. And you're not going to be able to fellowship with His people. There's so many reasons that we need to be careful to pay attention tonight to the Word. Hard stuff will come. It'll come. Maybe sooner than we think. Who knows? But I can tell you this, He'll never leave me.
Amen.
Right. There may be times that I have to weep all through the night. Maybe long stretches.
Right.
I don't know. But I can tell you this. There's a better day coming. This is all just temporary.
That's right.
The best is yet to come for the children of God. Don't lose heart. Come get a song. The hope we have is built in Christ. He said, listen, while we don't look at the things that are temporal, that we can see, He said, but no, look, put your eyes on those things that are above. The things that are eternal. Quite literally, He said, the things you can't see. You can't touch. You can't feel them. But we know they're there. We know that's our hope. We know that's the promise. And I can tell you of a surety that hope will rescue you day after day. You get down. Start thinking about what's coming. It won't be long. You'll see them old scales start to change. And you'll go to looking at what you're going through as, that ain't nothing. I got something coming. That's what to put our hope in. Stand as we sing. If you need Him tonight, come.